You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Private forest lands are a small but important aspect of BC's natural environment. The bulk of such land is located on Vancouver Island. Prior to last year, the owners of such land were restricted in how they could use the forests. Changes to government regulations, however, have opened up these areas. Soon, land speculation and unfettered logging may prevail. Ben Parfitt is a resource policy analyst with the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives, the CCPA, and he's author of a recent report on private forestry lands in British Columbia. We've reached him in Victoria. Good morning, Ben, and welcome to Red Eye.
Good morning.
Why have we seen this shift in government regulations regarding the use of private forest lands?
Well, I think the most recent decision by the provincial government, which dates back about a year and a half ago, to allow Western Forest Products to remove its private forest lands from holdings which had up until that point been designated managed forest lands, really set the stage for the current controversy over the future of private forest lands on Vancouver Island. And essentially, what the government did was to allow the company to do this on the grounds that it would put the company on a more secure economic footing, and that would, in essence, result in new investments in mills and make the company healthier. And in fact, what we've seen is pretty much the opposite. As soon as those lands were released, the company, as everyone predicted, placed a large volume of lands up for sale. And what we're witnessing now on southern Vancouver Island is an intense public debate over the future of those lands, with the company essentially wanting to sell thousands of hectares of coastal lands for real estate development, with the end result that we would see a massive increase in the population through new housing developments in the Souk area of Vancouver Island. And essentially all of the money that would be raised through this land sale would go to pay down company debt. We've seen very little indication that Western actually intends to use any money that it would get from this sale for purposes of investing in new mills and creating a new, more vibrant forest sector on the island here. So that's the real problem. And I think the overarching issue of concern is that there has been an expectation on the part of the public for decades that lands that were privately held but managed as forest lands would be managed as such in the long term. And the reason that that expectation was there was that companies historically received very low tax rates that applied to their private lands because they were managing them as forest lands. And also, in exchange for these private lands getting essentially rolled into bundled lands that included public lands, the companies got access to huge areas of publicly owned forest, essentially in exchange for bringing their private holdings in. So there was a real public expectation that these lands were to be managed in the short, medium, and long term as forest lands to public benefit. And what we're seeing now is a very different scenario where these lands are getting partitioned off. The more desirable tracts of land with water views are getting sold to development interests. There's a huge reduction in the productive forest land base as a result. And we're also seeing, as a result of these lands getting pulled out from the bundled holdings, a dramatic increase in logging rates on private lands. And that has many, many people concerned. Water users concerned because of logging practices that they believe are degrading public water supplies. Forest industry workers concerned because what they see happening is essentially a liquidation of the resource. And environmentalists concerned about what all the consequences of this elevated logging activities are going to be on the land base on southern Vancouver Island.
So these corporations before had a lot of advantages tax breaks among them for sticking to the tree farm licenses and applying Crown land standards. But I guess the enticement of land speculation with the land boom and building boom was money up front very fast and very big.
There's no doubt about that. The report that I worked on focused on the three major private land forest land holders on the island. That's Western Forest Products, Island Timberlands, and Timber West. And actually, those three companies are pretty much two, because Braskan ultimately is both the owner of Island Timberlands and a major stakeholder in Western. And what the three companies have done is essentially to earmark tens of thousands of hectares of land for what they're calling higher and better use, which essentially is real estate. And that's going to, if all of those lands are sold and all of them are developed in an area running roughly from just north of Campbell River down to the Greater Victoria area, we're going to see an incredible transformation in what the region looks like. There's the potential for enormous sprawl associated with these developments, and sprawl that very significantly runs counter to the official community or regional growth strategy plans that have been developed by regional governments like the Capital Regional District. So what I did with the report, Restoring the Public Good on Private Forest Lands, was to look at the large amount of land that may be removed from the forest base and sold for other purposes, and also to look at logging activities that had occurred prior to these lands being removed from the TFLs or tree farm licenses and after. And one of the things that emerges from a study of data maintained by the provincial government is that in the case of Island Timberlands, with Island Timberlands, which was previously McMillan Blodell land, as soon as that land was removed from the TFL, the rate of logging in one full calendar year increased by 30%. So we're seeing dramatic increases in logging as soon as these lands are pulled out. And there's very, very serious questions about how sustainable the present activities are.
So there's damage to the environment, there's real estate development instead of natural forest. What's happening with jobs for loggers and people working in the mills?
Well, very clearly the trend throughout the coastal region has been a very significant decline in forest industry jobs. We've seen numerous mills close up and down the island and on the mainland coast. We've seen dramatic increases over time in the number of raw logs that are being exported from these lands, with the principal source of the exports being private forest lands. And we've seen what appears to be quite significant increases in the leaving behind of less desirable logs in the bush. And, you know, if we take all of these things into account, the wood waste and the log exports, we're looking at you know, the loss potentially of probably a couple of thousand jobs a year on the coast alone were that those wood streams to be maintained here on the island. So there's very significant concern on the part of the industry about what all of this means. And also, I think that, you know, there's a broader public interest question here, which is that the transfer of these lands out of the tree farm licenses to the companies is not something that we see a lot of evidence that the government has thoroughly considered through the lens of what's in the public interest. So prior to my report coming out, the Provincial Auditor General released a scathing report on the government's handling of Western Forest Products' request to pull its private lands out of the TFL. And the Auditor General concluded quite bluntly that the government had shown little evidence that he could find of really stepping back to take a look at what the broader implications of these decisions were going to be on the public interest, and was sharply critical of the government's handling of this particular file.
So what has been done in opposition to this, and what can be done to ensure that these private lands are managed in a more responsible way?
Well, on the island, there's been quite a pitted battle between a coalition of interests that includes environmental organizations, woodworkers, local politicians, local residents, First Nations, and others in opposition to Western Forest Products' plans and to the provincial government's handling of this file. And as a result of very vocal complaints on the part of that coalition, the Capital Regional District responded to Western's proposed sale of its lands by enacting a zoning change that would dramatically restrict the number of houses that could have been built or could be built on these lands if they are ultimately sold to a developer. Western has responded to that downzoning decision by filing an appeal before the Supreme Court of British Columbia, in which they are in essence going to try and get those downzonings rescinded because certain procedures weren't followed. And it's going to be a very interesting case to follow because years ago, the residents of Galliano Island went through a very similar a battle with McMillan Bloedel, who at the time proposed selling off a massive amount of its private forest land on Galliano. And the local directors for the Islands Trust enacted a downzoning that remains in effect and that was actually subject to a court challenge by McMillan Bloedel that went in McMillan Bloedel's favor before the Supreme Court, but was ultimately overturned by the Court of Appeal. So the Court of Appeal, the highest court in the province, in essence ruled that the directors of the Islands Trust were within their legal authority to enact zoning changes. So it's going to be very interesting to follow what happens in the current court proceeding. There is clearly great public interest in trying to maintain the character of forest lands and to see them remain as forest lands and not open to development. And, you know, what I'm urging in the report is that it really, I think, is incumbent upon all three levels of government, municipal, provincial, and federal, to be looking at the very unique circumstances that apply to Vancouver Island, where fully a quarter of the forest land is in private hands, and to look seriously at what powers they have by way of enacting new forestry regulations, by way of enacting zoning changes in the case of municipal or regional governments, and in the case of the federal government, looking seriously at restricting log exports so that we come up with a more sustainable vision for the island and see our forests being managed in a responsible manner.
Well, thanks for your work, and thanks for explaining it today on our program.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Mordecai.
I've been speaking with Ben Parfitt. He's a resource policy analyst with the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives. You can read his report on private forestry lands at policyalternatives.ca.